You're listening to Food Tech Talk, Supply Chain Insights from Farm to Fork, a podcast discussing the latest trends and technology in the food and supplement industries, featuring conversations with regulatory experts, quality and safety champions, and thought leaders across the industry. I'm your host, Lydia Adams. Let's jump right in. Thank you for joining us on Food Tech Talk. Today, we're joined by Ryan Richard, the Vice President of Community Engagement at GS1 US. He is a leading figure in enhancing supply chain visibility and efficiency through the adoption of GS1 standards. His journey through GS1 US has taken him from the role of Senior Director of Industry Development for Retail Grocery to his current position, where he spearheads efforts to engage with community members and promote technological advancements in the supply chain. Prior to joining GS1 US, Ryan significantly contributed to Mondelez International as their senior manager of global data sync and industry standards, where he was instrumental in improving barcode standards and streamlining processes. With a strong background in technology and creative problem solving, Ryan is a key innovator in the food and retail grocery sectors and is dedicated to improving product information transparency and inventory visibility. Welcome to the show, Ryan.
Thanks, Lydia. I'm glad to be here. I'm looking forward to chatting with you this afternoon.
Me also. I'm very excited to have you. And I know that a lot of our listeners are probably familiar with GS1 US, but can you give us a refresher on GS1 US and talk a little bit about your role there?
So a lot of times when we're out in front of industry, people think they know who we are, but a lot of times I get the question of GS1 who. And what does that mean? It's a bunch of letters and a number put together, but really we're a non-for-profit standards organization and we're best known for administering the UPC. And I think what we do really well is we help industry drive engagements with strategies that drive adoption and use of our standards. Those standards help with interoperability and communication. And the best way to look at it is our standards are global and they are nuanced for each market we go into. So for the US and Canadian market, this standard might be have a slight tweak to it, but that standard is in essence global. And that really helps large multinational manufacturers move throughout the world and have their supply chains be interoperable because that same set of standards can be used anywhere they do business. So hopefully that helps answer that question for you.
Absolutely. And obviously that is super important in your role. How do you help the mission of GS1 US in that way?
I head up three different distinct business areas. So I head up our retail grocery industry engagement efforts and our food service industry engagement efforts, as well as our customer inbound contact center or member support area. So those are really three distinct areas of business, but they really all focus on our membership and helping our membership adopt our standards, understand their industry problems. What are the problems that we're hearing from industry? And right now we're really focused on a couple of key things. It's really transparency or traceability. And then obviously data quality is a big component of that as well. So we're also focused on data quality. And then sustainability is another area that kind of falls in that traceability area. But traceability breaks into a couple of different areas like inventory management, and also recall readiness. So we really work with the food service and grocery industry specifically to help them alleviate those pain points in their supply chain so they can readily track product anywhere, anytime where it's needed on shelf or in that restaurant for that consumer to take. Or in the case when we talk about food service and grocery specifically, we want them to be able to aid those pain points in their supply chain, making sure that they get the product on shelf to the consumer or into that restaurant for the consumer to dine at. Also, we want them to be ready in case of a foodborne outbreak so they can recall that product really quickly. So we look at it, traceability and inventory management really go hand in hand. So we're really working with industry to help them streamline those so they can track the product anywhere in the supply chain.
Which kind of leads us to our next question. So given the critical role of GS1 US in enhancing supply chain transparency and efficiency, like you just talked about, maybe if you could elaborate a little bit more on how GS1 standards are being leveraged to address the current challenges in the food industry. You mentioned sustainability and traceability, so we could definitely start there.
So when we talk about sustainability, one of the things we're hearing and we're seeing in industry is there's a big focus on curbing food waste and waste mitigation efforts, if you will. It's helpful to the bottom line. It's also helpful to get food into the hands of everyone in the supply chain that needs it or end of the end consumers. As you know, there is a lot of organizations that are not necessarily retailers or food service operators, they're really focused on feeding the hungry. So if we can really track and curb this food waste, we can get food into those vulnerable populations as well. But part of doing that is being able to track the food and where is the food and codating it effectively and having those code dates be able to be read by everyone in the supply chain so we can get that product out on market and not have it go to waste and end up in a landfill. It can end up in the hands of those people that really need it. So we also talk about sustainability. It's really transparency on that product origin so we can track from farm to fork. What journey did that product take? What is the carbon footprint of that product? Those are things that we see the consumer more and more engaged in. So when we talked about data quality and, you know, my setup, data quality is key because without good data, you can't provide this information to consumers, to your business partners. And that information is key in really tracking the journey of that product. And we talk about food waste. One of the things I really always drill in on is there's a recent Wall Street Journal article. Actually, it was from 2023, so it's not that old. But 31% of available food goes uneaten, and retailers discard about 43 billion pounds of food annually. So if you sit back and think about that for a second, that's annually about 90 million pounds of food.
For most people in the food industry, they're driven by this mission and purpose to make food safer. And you bring up a really good point about food waste that I think is sometimes missed. If you can't track it, you don't know where it's going. You don't know how could we have gotten that to those populations. So such an important part of the mission that we all share.
That's exactly spot on. But then when you flip the sustainability into traceability, and what does traceability really mean? And it's, I talked about in my setup, traceability and inventory management. When you hear traceability, everyone thinks it's really in the event of a recall readiness or in the event of a foodborne illness outbreak. Like that's really why to be able to trace that product quickly and get it out of the marketplace and understand where that food safety event happened. And that really sets us up for what the FSMA Rule 204 is really going into. But you can flip that the other way and say it's really about inventory management because traceability is inventory management. You want to know where that product is in the supply chain. When's it going to get to the store? When's it going to get to the restaurant? When's it going to get to my house? Like we all do online ordering and I do a lot of online grocery ordering and I want to know when is it going to arrive at my house? Like, am I going to be home to pick it up?
And it's obviously a much bigger scale. And obviously the regulations are really important. But as you said, it's on so many different levels. You're running a business and you need to know where these products are. And you need to know exactly where they are on the shelf of every single store that you have. I mean, there's just so many reasons that traceability is so essential.
We're working with major retailers as well as major food service operators and suppliers in both spaces really focused on traceability of what are those critical tracking events and those key data elements they need to enable to and effectively track that product through the marketplace. And then it's also unique identification, which is key to GS1 standards as we're the originator of the barcode, is uniquely identifying all those stops in the supply chain as well as that product, that unique identification of that product. Without that unique identification, your traceability is not effective.
Right. Speaking of traceability, and you brought up FSMA 204, it is just 2 years away.
It's less than 2 years.
Yeah, it's less than 2 years. That's right. And so I feel like it is kind of sneaking up on a lot of folks in the industry. So I'd love for you to just kind of explain a little bit more about the rule from your perspective and tell me what should people in grocery and food service start doing right now to be able to comply?
So what FSMA Rule 204, what it was enabled to do, it's really to track those high-risk foods or those foods that are on the food traceability list. So think about those foods like vegetables, deli meats, ready-to-eat salad, seafood, soft cheeses, eggs. Those are just some of the items that are on the FTL or the food traceability list. It's really because they consider those high-risk foods, those are foods that have had recalls in the past or foodborne illness is in the past that we've had to do a recall on. So that's really what the focus is on those foods. And it's really advanced record keeping as that product moves through the supply chain. Currently today, if there is a recall in the marketplace, anyone in the supply chain needs to be able to go one up and one down from their operation. So that's not a big ask, but in tomorrow's world, you need to be able to trace that whole product through the whole supply chain. So that's really the difference in this. And also as that product transforms, so think of leafy greens, they get picked out of the field, they go to a pack house, they get packed, they go to an operator who then transforms that into a salad and then is sold out to one of their stores. Like that food needs to be tracked and each transformation needs to be tracked. So that's really where GS1 standards come into play. But one of the things you hit on in your question was not just what is this rule, but what can somebody do and what do they need to be looking at right now? And I think what you need to be doing as an operator or retailer or even a supplier is, are any of these foods in your operations, are they either a whole food or are they an ingredient in a food? Like, you need to identify that. You also need to be talking to your trading partners about what does a traceability plan look like and what does that detail record keeping look like, so that you can ensure that you're meeting the needs of the rule. I think also you need to be looking at what your overall traceability plan is, and then how can you timely report on this? If the government was to come to you and ask you, can you in 24 hours turn around that information on those products that have flowed through your operations?
Planning ahead and knowing exactly where everything is going to be so important. And I think you have to phase it. In 2026, a lot of companies are now looking at it and going, okay, what do we have on this list? How do we approach this? What's the full plan? And then how do we make sure that we're ready? So yeah, all really good advice there. And then that's not the only regulation that's out there, right? So I wanted to talk about the Food Date Labeling Act as well, because it represents a significant step towards reducing that food waste that we just talked about, enhancing consumer understanding of food freshness and safety. So from your perspective, what are the main challenges and misunderstandings surrounding the Food Date Labeling Act today? And how is GS1 US really supporting its members to navigate this?
So you're a consumer, you go to the grocery store or you buy online. There's two consumers in a household. The one consumer is very worried about those dates and they look at the product and they're like, they know what all those dates mean. They know what sell by means. They know what use by means. They know what freshest on means or expiry on. And then there's the other consumer who knows nothing about any of those dates and doesn't understand them at all. I think from my perspective, I fell into like, hey, I kind of know what these are. I've been in the food industry a long time. So I know what they are and what they're intended to do. But I think most consumers are like, what do these really mean? Like, can I eat it if it says sell by? Is it still good? If it says freshest on, does that mean it's going to be stale? Like, what does that really mean? And what this act really is trying to do is streamline that so the consumer is more educated and there's less confusion around what those dates mean. Like, can I eat it? Should I discard it? What should I do with the product?
I think that's certainly a need because really, I think you're right. I think a lot of people really don't know the differences between those types of dates. So how do you anticipate that the standardization of these dates, food date labeling, is going to affect the logistics and operations for food companies? And I'm also specifically thinking of small businesses.
From the business perspective of it is a lot of processes and their operations have been drilled and perfected on these dates. So a lot of things they do are streamlined because of those dates. So if you have a sell-by date, it means something in your operations. If you have a freshest on date, it means something else in your operations. So you're going to have to go through your date labeling and then do a transformation of what are those current dates you are having on your products and how do you translate that into this new date that is proposed in the regulation. And I think one thing to note is this regulation, it came up last year and it's stalled out at this point. Like, we haven't seen much movement on it. We're watching it. I think it is good for the consumer at the end policy. It'd also be good for industry, but we have to get there and get the industry behind it. So I think that's one of the things we're watching. But I think it's really back to your original question is, what does it mean to me and my operations? And I think you need to be looking at your operations and how these dates are driving different business processes in your operations. And then what is my new business process going to look like when they change to one set of dates?
Right. Because if you're not standardizing that internally within your own company and you don't know what those dates signify for your process, it's going to be a lot harder to change over when things are changed outside of your company for sure. So it sounds like the steps that they need to take now is really that internal view of how they're using these dates, where they're using these dates, and then that's going to set them up to be able to comply when this starts moving again.
The other key piece is they're going to have to talk to their trading partners because a lot of their trading partners have probably built processes around those dates as well. So what does that look like for those trading partners? One thing when I was researching this act and working through some of it, one thing I noticed is there's only one product that is federally regulated or state standardization, and that's infant formula. No other product in the marketplace has a date labeling standard.
I think consumers don't always think about those things, but we should probably think about them. That's definitely an interesting point.
But think about it from your perspective as a consumer, you're going to actually be able to keep products in your house a lot longer because you won't be tossing it out confused by the dates.
We've talked about a couple of things coming up. So from a general perspective, what's the pulse check for grocers and their compliance journey today? What are some other trends they need to be thinking about outside of what we've already spoken about with FSMA 204, et cetera? What else do they need to be doing right now?
From a grocery perspective, I really think that a couple of things they need to be looking at is they need to be looking at where is industry going? Like, what is that consumer doing? Because what we've seen as coming out of the pandemic, one of the things we really saw was everyone was all in on grocery during the pandemic and the food service operators, they lost a lot of share. Now, as we've come out of the pandemic, we've noticed that even though people are going back out into the restaurant world, they're still buying groceries. They're not at the level they were during the pandemic, but it hasn't fallen off to pre-pandemic levels. So what we're seeing is that consumer is hybrid. So I think from a grocery perspective, what we're seeing a lot of is that be focused on your inventory, being able to adjust to that consumer switch, also being able to get that product in the right place at the right time. And we're seeing a lot of focus in the grocery industry also on the consumer wanting that product when they want it. So what I mean when I say that is there's a lot of focus on, I want it home delivered. I want to be able to go in the store when I want to go in the store. I want it online when I want it online. And that is a thing that has changed. It used to be all in on, you had to pick it up in store, then it was click and collect, and then it was ordering and delivering to my house. We're seeing all three of those models are here to stay. So you've got to be able to support all those. And the grocers that are being able to do that and switch with the consumer effectively, we're seeing that really help drive sales in their operations.
That is a really good point, because I've definitely been on an app and say, oh, that one's going to have to be delivered in 2 days, but that can be at my house in 2 hours, and deciding where you're getting certain products based on how they're delivering them to you or how you're going to receive them. And maybe you go to the store for something, you want to buy your own hamburger meat, but everything else you're like, they can send me cereal boxes. Like, I think the consumer mind has definitely shifted in that way. So that's an excellent point.
The other thing we're seeing is a lot of the grocers and the food service operators, a lot of grocers, you're seeing grocerants inside of their stores. So you're seeing like that trend go as well, where you're having that prepared food where you can go to the store, you can pick up that meal that you just have to go home and heat it up, or you can pick up that heated meal in store. So you're seeing a lot of that as the consumer is changing. They want to be able to get that when they're doing their shopping as well.
So this kind of leads into one of my favorite topics. So really, it's about the technology. I mean, there's so many things that food companies, grocers, food service, restaurants, they're having to really look at now. You mentioned a few of them. So are there any advancements in supply chain technology that you feel like are really going to help the industry with the compliance requirements, the consumer needs? What are the trends you're seeing there?
When you talk about FSMA Rule 204 specifically, I think you're going to see a lot of the more advanced companies, they're going to go to an automated solution for their detailed record keeping. You're going to see a lot of that. But you got to remember that this rule is going to apply to your smaller and mid-sized companies. And to be compliant for FSMA Rule 204, and a spreadsheet is really all you really need to meet that rule. So I think you're going to see that gamut run across it. So I think the bigger guys are going to double down on the technology. I think it's also the same thing with traceability. You see the bigger guys, they're doubling down on technical solutions to really trace that product, where the smaller guys, they're still doing that on pen and paper and spreadsheets. I'm not saying one way is the right way, but I think it's based on the size of your operations and what's feasible for you, and that you can actually, I think the key thing to look at is, can I turn around that traceability in 24 hours, no matter which way I'm tracking it?
Right, exactly. Because that's going to be the key, that anybody and everybody is going to have to be able to do that, regardless of where the data sits, right?
We talk about the smaller distributors, even the smaller manufacturers, they're going to also interface with some of the bigger chains, the retailers, the bigger operators. So they're going to have to get to that point where they're going to be automated in some form or fashion so they can share that information with their trading partners.
Yes, good point there too. So what are some tools that folks can really use from an inventory management perspective?
We started off the conversation that we are the start of the UPC barcode. So when you talk about inventory management, some of the tools that are up and coming is we're talking about 2D barcodes. So think about it as QR codes. Everyone's familiar with the QR code because during the pandemic, everyone went to restaurants and that QR code was front and center on those virtual menus that we all clicked on. So everyone's really familiar with those. You're starting to see them on products when you think of Smart Label. That's an industry initiative. Like, you see the QR code on pack for that. 2D barcodes are really that advent, and we're talking about it as Sunrise 2027. So you will see that 2D barcode on pack. So it'll be able to go through point of sale to go beep, but it also carries a whole lot of robust information. So think about, you can put things like the lot and batch code in there. You can put the freshness dates in there. you can put ingredients in there. There's so much information you can load into a 2D barcode that you cannot put into linear UPC that's unpacked today. So you can use it for traceability and inventory management, inventory rotation. And also when you think about it from a future state supply chain use case, you can start to see the replacement future state on cases and pallets. So you can scan that 2D barcode and get that real-time information. So we talk about RFID, that's another carrier that we've been talking about. So in addition to 2D, RFID also can carry a lot of robust information. The thing with 2D data carriers is they need that line of sight, but RFID does not need a line of sight. So you can walk by in a warehouse and scan a bunch of cases that are on a pallet and you can get that same information virtually. So I think that you're seeing a lot of use cases in food. You see RFID, there's a lot of use cases in the apparel world. You're starting to see it come into the food world. So there's a case study out there from Golden State Foods on the GS1 website that talks about what they are doing with RFID. And you're starting to see it take a lot of movement in food. So I think those 2D data carriers, that future state is really, you're going to see traceability start to evolve and move.
I think that's a really important point and sort of where we're going as an industry. At some point, we're going to have that level of detail. All right. Well, I want to shift gears. I have a couple of questions that are just for fun. Is there someone in the world of food safety that you would like to take to lunch?
One of the people that I would really enjoy having lunch is taking Frank Yannis to lunch.
That's mine too. We'll all three go to lunch together. How about that?
I love that. And I think he's got a lot of knowledge in the industry. You know, he comes from industry. He spent time at the FDA. And now he's back out doing some consulting work. But I think he's got a lot of insight and a lot of knowledge. And I think I would just love to have an hour with him to pick his brain.
Same. All right. And one more for you. So what advice would you give to a young food industry professional entering the space? Or what do you wish that you knew yourself at earlier points in your career in the food industry?
I think for someone new entering the space, be curious and ask a lot of questions because you never know which way your career can go and you have to understand so many different things. But when you don't understand them, seek to understand them. So ask those questions and rely on those people that are progressing their career and find a board of directors as you build your career of people that can help influence your decision making and help you craft your career path. Find people that you think are really neat in the space or they're doing things that you want to do. Take them to lunch, spend 30 minutes to an hour with them and find out what they're doing, how they got to where they got to.
Great advice. I love that. Is there anything else that we didn't get a chance to talk through that you want to talk about?
The one thing I wanted to do a shout out for, if you want any of the resources from a GS1 food safety perspective, if you can go to www.gs1us.org/food safety. There's a lot of materials out there. And I think another thing to talk about is we have GS1 Connect coming up in Orlando from June 4th through 6th. And I know you are all going to be there from Trustwell. So it's a great place to learn about food safety, learn about FSMA 204, and also learn about more about GS1 standards and collaborate with your industry partners.
It is the best, and I can't wait to see all the content that comes out of that conference. Well, thank you so much, Ryan. We really appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge with us. And thanks to everybody who joined us as well. We'll see you in a couple weeks.
It was a pleasure talking with you this afternoon, and thank you for everything.
Thank you for joining us for another bite-sized nugget of Food Tech Talk, Supply Chain Insights from Farm to Fork. To learn more about Trustwell and its technology platform that connects product formulation, nutrition analysis, and compliant labeling with traceability, recall readiness, and supply chain transparency, please visit www.trustwell.com. Thanks for listening.